This is Jacinta Parsons on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
The Victorian head of the Australasian College for Emergency Medicine has urged those investigating possible mistakes in our response to the coronavirus to avoid blame. Joining us to explain why, Dr. Maya Cubitt is the Victorian Faculty Chair of the Australasian College for Emergency Medicine and a Melbourne-based emergency physician. Good afternoon.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Good to have you. Why is it important for you? Why are you urging those investigating potential mistakes in our handling of the pandemic to avoid apportioning blame?
I think the biggest reason is because the whole response relies on our workforce, and it relies on our workforce feeling safe. And if we start to erode the trust we have in our leaders and the people responding to the pandemic through apportioning blame and hiding things, people lose their trust, and they need to feel that in order to be part of the solution and to continue to give the best care they can to their colleagues and their patients.
The other side of that, though, is the need for us to ensure that when mistakes are made, responsibility is taken, because that responsibility means that we're really very aware of how we won't do it again.
Yeah, and I think there's a tendency and a risk there that, you know, you get some emotional satisfaction or perhaps some political satisfaction through achieving blame. But really, we have to try to move forward to a climate where it's okay for us to share where we think things have gone wrong and to collaboratively move forward in the solutions with that. We absolutely need to make a space where the clinicians on the ground, the community, the leaders, the government can come together and say, well, this is what we thought was going to happen. This is what actually happened. Let's see how we can fix it and make it better so that everybody's feeling safe and can trust the systems that we've got in place.
What was interesting about an article that you have written in response to this is how it mirrors, I suppose, the way that issues and problems are dealt with in health spheres.
Yeah, so, and I think that's really important. This is a health problem. It's about the safety and the health of our communities and our clinicians as well. And we need to approach it that way. We can't approach it with a political message. And the last thing we want is blame and shame. And I don't want the clinicians working within this to start to feel worried that if they've caught a virus, that they've done something wrong and that they are somehow to blame. I think we absolutely need to move away from that.
You've been working in emergency departments in hospitals throughout this time. What's it been like for you?
So it's a really tricky time for us. I meet with the emergency clinicians working across Victoria every week at the moment. And it's really a roller coaster ride. Everybody's been doing this since about January now. So people are tired, but everybody's at a different stage. I'm not sure if you've seen, there's a great phases of disaster response graphic out there where you talk about pre-disaster, the impact, feeling heroic, a period of disillusionment, and then a period of rebuilding. And it's not a linear type journey. Everybody is at a different phase at a different time. And you'll be aware across Victoria, everybody's in a different geographical place with a different level of community transmission. And that means that we're all in different places, and the beauty of our meetings at the moment is we can come together and support each other and share with each other what's going on the ground and how we're dealing with it. And every day somebody else is able to give support to someone who's having a wobbly day, and not everybody has wobbles for the same reasons, and it's just a roller coaster ride that keeps on going, really.
Is this how it's working, that there is that kind of tick-tacking of experience, or are you noticing that fatigue is setting in across the board?
I think we are starting to come to a place where we realise we have to build in some sustainability. As I said, the workforce is the most crucial part of this. And so we are all trying to support each other in taking breaks. And I think there is a small period of reprieve, if I could say that. I'm sort of slightly hopeful that over the last day or two, there might be a chance for us to take a breath, take some time and just recharge, and it's really important that we find some places to do that.
You're talking about fear in the community. What about amongst health workers? Have you been concerned about that spread amongst health workers?
I think it's very concerning, and I think it's absolutely an anxiety-provoking state. And I think that comes back to that sharing of information and the transparency. The only way to tackle that anxiety and to make people trust and feel safe in the system is to help them understand what's going on. And we can only do that if we're all sharing the data and the solutions together.
One of the huge factors of this is our mental health. How does that work when you are constantly every day going into a workplace that is under pressure as it is right now?
Yeah, it's really hard, and I think some days we have wobbly days, and the things that make us feel wobbly are sometimes unpredictable. And I think the biggest thing that I have found is the community building and the debriefing with my colleagues and the support that we're giving each other. It's absolutely the most important thing that we can do, and then sometimes we need to escalate that. But most of the time, if I can sit down with an emergency clinician, a nurse or a doctor that's working alongside me in this, we can get each other through this if we're given the space and time to help each other.
We very joyfully saw a drop in numbers today. Do you feel optimistic about that and the direction that we're heading?
Look, it's one of those moments where you can take a bit of a breath, but you wonder what's coming next. Everything about this has been unprecedented, unpredictable, and I think I'd be lying if I said I feel hopeful. I think there's definitely maybe a chance to take a pause and reflect and then move forward and face the next challenges together.
Before we let you go, what do you want the narrative to be from the government?
I want this to be absolutely about patients and clinicians remaining the most important part. I don't want us to get lost in amongst the politicising and the blame and the shame that's starting to develop. We withheld it for a while, and I want it to absolutely stay away. I really need clinicians and patients to be the most important part of what we're doing.
We're really grateful for the work that you do, that for you and your colleagues. Please pass on our gratitude. And thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Maya Kubit there joining us, giving us her perspective on how she feels the narrative around the coronavirus response needs to be, asking that we don't apportion blame, rather we look at what has happened, we learn from it, and we move forward. She is the Victorian Faculty Chair of the Australian College for Emergency Medicine and a Melbourne-based emergency physician.